Good morning. This is The Takeaway. I'm Celeste Headlee, joined this morning by Todd Zwillick in D.C., who is filling in for John Hockenberry. Well, going on to Afghanistan, where the United States, well, they haven't discovered them. We've actually known they were there for a while, but it's only recently that they realized that the mineral deposits beneath the sands of Afghanistan were worth almost $1 trillion. They've got iron, copper, cobalt, gold, lithium. They could forever change not just the landscape, but the resources of this country. According to our partner, the New York Times, they've attained a Pentagon memo that says Afghanistan could become the Saudi Arabia of lithium. That's a metal that's used in batteries, laptops, cell phones, all kinds of electronics. And to talk about this some more, we've got Robert Bayless with us. He's a lithium market expert for Roskill, a minerals information service. Robert, how lucrative can minerals be? What's the ratio between what it costs to develop and mine minerals as opposed to what you can sell them?
Good morning. Well, yeah, I think it really depends on which particular one you're looking at. Certainly for gold, it can be very lucrative. Obviously, the cost of production can be far lower than the current gold prices at the moment. Looking at other minerals such as lithium, you know, the margins are a lot smaller. It's more of an industrial end use. So, you know, your consumer wants to get, you know, as little, you know, as much as for little as possible. So it really depends, I think.
But would you say that it would be particularly difficult to make money off of the mineral deposits that are in Afghanistan, a place where there are so many remote areas and it's relatively undeveloped?
Yeah, that's one problem. You need the infrastructure to support it. A lot of these other countries that are, you know, where new mines are appearing, places like Mongolia, you need to put the infrastructure cost in there, and that's obviously a considerable capex expenditure for any company. I think the big thing with Afghanistan, which a lot of people have mentioned, is obviously the security and political stability. Yeah, is always a good measure of you know, how successful a project will be.
For sure. Robert Bayless is a lithium market expert for Roskill, a minerals information service. We're joined now by Ibrahim Adel. He's Afghanistan's Minister of Mines, and also Christine Fair, professor at the Center for Peace and Security Studies at Georgetown University. She is currently in Pakistan. Ibrahim, let me ask you first, how do you see this sort of discovery of all these minerals between Afghanistan transforming your country?
Let's say that all of the discovery in Afghanistan related to the past 30 years, 40 years ago. There is not any new discovery in Afghanistan. All of the reports and material from the past, just they are evaluated by the United States experts, and they have estimated some of the money or how. I think that we don't know more than 5% of our natural resources until now. Even this 5% is just an estimation, maybe 2-3%. In addition of iron, gold, lithium, cesium, everything we have in Afghanistan except diamond, we have found everything. But this is in the stage of the finding, approval of the quantity and quality and the ore body. It depends on the surveying in future and approval of the real amount of them. Before of this, what we say and how we say and who will explain about these are just estimation, approximately some theory, but indeed we have to survey, we have to approve the real amount
and find out what they're really worth.
Resources.
Exactly.
Minister Adel, let me turn to Christine Fair. Christine Fair, Ibrahim Adel, Afghanistan's Minister of Mines, says, well, we've known about this for 40 years, 2-3% of the national economy. But $1 trillion is the number being thrown around. That might make Ibrahim Adel the most powerful and important man in Afghanistan, or maybe his successor. Christine Fair.
This is, of course, the issue, right? So he's absolutely right that everyone has known about these minerals for some time, and there's actually been quite a bit of private speculation going on about those minerals. But the lesson that we've learned from the Chinese at the INAC mine and Logar, is that they're going to have a pretty big issue with Afghan corruption. Many Afghans are deeply dissatisfied with the terms, the very favorable terms that the Chinese got to develop that particular mine. And it's easy to blame the Chinese, but in fact, the culpability lies with the various ministers that were, how shall we put it, made more amenable to giving the Chinese favorable terms to develop that mine. So quite apart from the ecological issues that are pretty well known, Afghanistan doesn't really have a history of industrial strength mining. And then, of course, the way in which one is going to be responsible in terms of developing these assets. The other issue is, quite frankly, Pakistan or Afghanistan has many predatory neighbors, and everyone is really interested in getting a piece of this. And the Chinese are, of course, particularly interested. So I think one of the issues that's going to appear fairly quickly is the well-known problem of corruption in the Afghan government and how they're going to allow countries and their companies to develop these resources, and quite frankly, at what price?
And that's the question, Christine Fair, because clearly, I mean, just last year, the Afghanistan's Minister of Mines, Adel's predecessor, accepted a $30 million bribe. He was accused of that from China to develop the copper mine, as you were referring to earlier.
Thank you for saying that, because I was trying to be delicate. I was trying to dance around
Let's not dance around the issue here. You know, we know, in war-torn countries...
I'm not usually known for not dancing around things.
Yeah, but here's the thing, Christine. Here's the thing. More money and more resources doesn't necessarily mean a country becomes more stable. Quite the opposite sometimes.
No, I mean, that's really true. I mean, if you look at the way the Chinese develop resources all around the region, I mean, you see the Chinese active in Central Asia, you see the Chinese active in Pakistan and Afghanistan and Africa. They have a very similar model. Actually very little to the local economy. They bring their own employees to do virtually everything. So they're not even necessarily employing local labor. So when the Chinese go in, it's always very extractive, which is why the question of how it is that the Chinese got such a favorable contract to develop that mine is really an issue of supreme importance for Afghan public policy.
Right.
And my concern is that the pervasive corruption across various relevant ministries
means that the money will never reach the people, maybe.
Certain companies are going to be...
Christine Fair is a professor at the Center for Peace and Security Studies at Georgetown University. She's currently in Pakistan. We also spoke with Ibrahim Abdel, Afghanistan's Minister of Mines.